And we're recording.
All right.
Good evening from Texas. I'm in Texas, everybody.
All squirrels are in the south.
That's true.
Oh. Oh, well, interesting. That's true. That technically you are.
I like that. Technically.
I know. Virginia never seems like the South to me.
Yeah. Yes, Virginia. It was only the capital of the Confederacy.
Well, I know, but like geologically it doesn't seem South to me.
It's filled with northern rocks.
It doesn't feel south. Virginia always felt north to me too, because I've always lived south of Virginia. So to me, Virginia was
coming from Massachusetts, it might as well have been, you know, on the moon. Yeah. So people never use their horns down here. It is like amazing.
That's a southern thing.
They're so polite.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have to force myself to wait an extra second before I blast someone sitting at a light texting.
That's how we roll down here.
I know.
that's how you can tell who's a visitor from.
You can tell the transplants, because they're like, move, you idiot. Honk, honk. And they're like, y'all aren't from around here.
What is so egregious that you would have to use your horn, Alan?
I can't even imagine.
Not perceiving if the light turns green.
Well, no. Okay. So yeah, using the horn in the South, you almost will never use the horn.
Yeah.
How do I want to put this? Yeah. Unless somebody's about to run into you and you're gonna like honk to go, hey man, you're about to run into me. You certainly don't honk to let people know the light changed and they need to go. You're just gonna wait.
In Massachusetts, you honk because you dislike the person in front of you. You honk because you like the person in front of you. You honk to show that your car is in fact equipped with a horn. It's just like it's part of the cacophony of modern life.
Did you hear that they're going to make electric cars have a noisemaker below, I think it's 18 or 19 miles an hour. They have to make noise, and they set a certain dB level.
It's not a bad idea for pedestrians and bicyclists, which it coincidentally is one of the huge failings of the self-driving cars is, oops, they don't recognize anything smaller than a four-wheel vehicle.
Right. Well, they...
It's that little oops that nobody talks about. They're like, ooh, self-driving cars are so wonderful. And then, except for the hundreds to thousands of bicyclists and pedestrians that'll be mowed down.
Well, stay off the damn street and your damn bicycle. That's, you know, yes. Problem solved.
Yes, don't cross in the crosswalk.
I have not seen one bicyclist here. I've not seen one bicyclist here.
That's because it's Texas. It's 900 billion miles long. You couldn't bicycle it. You'd die. It's also 500 degrees Fahrenheit, and there's snakes that can kill you.
It's actually pretty cool.
Texas is basically Australia with the Alamo. It's basically what you are.
It is not Australia with the Alamo.
Chilly. It was kind of chilly yesterday.
It got all the way down to 70.
Yeah, it was, you know.
You've got little areas of civilization like Houston or Sydney, and the rest is just, you know, here there be dragons.
Okay, you got that. Yeah. Yeah. I think Australia is, and it, as much as it pains me as a Texan to say this, I believe Australia is slightly larger than Texas.
I believe it is as well.
So,
I think it may even be bigger than Alaska, which, as everyone knows, is bigger than Texas.
Yeah,
not in spirit.
Not in spirit.
Speaking of Texas,
Alaska does suffer from nothing connected. I'm very curious about this rodeo thing. I've never been to one. I've only like seen them on television and depicted in movies. I have to ask, were Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder there?
They were not. Although it was just as diverse.
This is busting loose.
Everybody wearing cowboy boots. Like everybody had cowboy boots.
It did not matter.
Man, woman, black, white, Chinese, you know, Latino. It did not matter. Everybody had cowboy boots on.
We sat next to the barbecue line. They've got these large giant tents where various barbecue establishments set up. And we sat there for a while watching people walk by. And I think we literally saw every race on the planet and every nationality on the planet in boots and cowboy hats.
There were even some Klingons.
Yeah. There might have been some Klingons. I'm not so sure.
Because Texas barbecue.
Right. Yeah, you know Klingons would be all about the Texas barbecue.
Oh, hell yeah.
The thing about the rodeo was, and I'm sure that not all rodeos are this way, but Houston rodeo is enormous. Well, like everything in Houston is like, you know, oversized. But like there's the rodeo, which is in the evening, you know, which is like the main event, and you go into the giant stadium. But outside of that there's kind of like a little convention center area, and they have like, you know, the convention center stuff, like guys selling hot tubs and mattresses and massage chairs, and then, you know, people wanting to polish your jewelry. And then of course there's like tons of Western wear and boots and just stuff to buy. But on the other side of the building, they have, in the same building, on the other end of the building, they have, like, pigs giving birth. On the big screen. Like, when a pig gives birth, they get video and they put it up on the big screen. Last time I was there, I saw a cow give birth to a calf. And there's, like, this whole birthing area of animals, which is kind of cool, you know? They have, like, all the little baby lambs and the cows and two-day-old piglets and... You know, they talk about, you know, animal husbandry, and there's this whole educational area for kids, you know, about Texas wildlife and Texas all sorts of stuff. You know, honeybees, you can go in the honeybee hive and learn about bees, and you can look at the rabbits, and they have live, you know, like displays of chickens hatching, which was kind of cute. It's kind of cute. You get to watch you know, if you wait long enough, you can see a chick hatch out of the egg and kind of wobble around. So I don't know. That's kind of like my favorite area of the rodeo. And then outside is the carnival kind of concourse food stall area. And the food, there's more food than anything, I think. I mean, there's so much food, and there's deep fried, literally. You name it, it is deep fried. Alan got a deep fried big cup Reese's cup.
Yep.
And that was really obscene.
It was a religious experience.
I can't eat any of that stuff now, but it looked great.
It was so good.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was.
But you can get deep fried butter.
Yes.
And deep fried Twinkies and deep fried, I don't know. Oh, what was that? What was that we saw? Bacon wrapped pork belly.
Oh yeah, bacon wrapped pork belly.
That looked amazing. And you know,
I always thought pork bellies are what bacon was made out of. So that was like bacon wrapped bacon.
Yes.
Bacon wrapped bacon. Yes. That sounds really good.
Beautiful. So I mean, it was like, you know, lots and lots of that sort of stuff, and carnival games and really terrifying rides and, you know, that sort of stuff. And then in the evening, the rodeo starts around 6-7 o'clock, and then they have the, like, a few hours of the rodeo with all the typical rodeo stuff. And then after that, they have a concert. So it's like, it's really an all day event. Like, you have to get there early to do it all. But I think a lot of people probably get, you know, season passes or something, so they can work it all in. Because it's a lot of walking and a lot. It's a lot for one day, but I'm glad I was able to do it. Anyway, Alan's take my. Are you live? Oh, we did the live thing.
I'm doing it now.
Oh, that's nice. Thanks, Alan, for the warning. I'm glad I put lip gloss on.
It sounds like.
Rita's like live right now.
Fair.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of like medieval fair with cowboys.
It's like Renaissance fair for cowboys. There
and
you go.
You know how you have like you have a state fair with a carnival and stuff like that. It's very similar to that. They have the livestock barns where they have all the 4-H people are showing their, you know, cows and rabbits and chickens and, you know, all kinds of livestock.
Yeah, that's your county fair.
Yeah, and. But in the carnival part, and around the stadium, you know, there is literally more, there are more establishments selling food than there are the stupid games and rides and stuff like that. I mean, it's really more food than anything else. All the big barbecue establishments in the Houston environs are represented there. You have probably...
Is this a covered stadium, Alan?
The rodeo is inside the covered stadium. It's inside the NRG stadium where they play the football games.
I'm just curious. My frame of reference is the Topsfield Fair, which is a county fair when I was up in Massachusetts. And I think all the local restaurants had their own little, but they had tents because it was outdoors. So I'm trying to figure out how it works in an indoor venue. Do they just have like areas? Is it taped off like Messman's office? Or?
Well, no, the rodeo is in the stadium, and it's on where the football players play. They have dirt, and that's where they do the rodeo. They do the
doesn't that tear the hell out of the AstroTurf?
There's no AstroTurf. They pick it up.
They switch out the floor, I'd imagine. But
yes, thank you.
Arena is so big that they can, and I, it was a little shocking. They during the national anthem, they had a rider go around, and she was riding, standing on her horse, carrying the American flag. And it was like very the most America thing you can like picture. And she's standing there on her horse, and they're going around the arena. And in the arena is so big, they have fireworks going off. And it didn't even seem like, whoa, there's fireworks inside the giant, you know, inside the same room with me. No, they were far enough away that you felt completely like, oh, fireworks, how nice, you know. It was just, yeah. So.
Yeah, the Houston Rodeo is like unashamed American hell yeah. I mean, there is no more unabashed patriotic event than a rodeo in Texas. They have a parade at the beginning where they parade everybody around, all the big wigs, and they ride their horses around and they carry the flags and everything. And then they have somebody says a prayer, and they have they play the national anthem, and there's fireworks and explosions, and it's really an America fuck yeah thing. It's really fantastic. It's not, there is no, you know, apology tour crap going on. No, you know, no, oh, we might have done something bad at some point. You know,
they're not concerned about their carbon footprint is what you're telling me.
No. And like Brita said, the stadium's so big, they set off fireworks inside it, and you don't even smell them. It's like, well, Jay wouldn't smell it anyway, but you know, people with a sense of smell wouldn't even, you don't even smell. The cars are driving around inside the thing, and it's like, there's no danger at all of carbon monoxide poisoning or anything.
We were also kind of up in the nosebleed seat, so it kind of was a weird, like, you're above it all looking at the, you know, everything.
I'm going to turn the live thing.
Thank you.
Because Breida's getting self-conscious.
I am. You're pointing that thing at me.
So, anyway, that's just, you know, fun.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you took a picture of me doing this. Okay.
I'll post it on the thing.
And those are just the cameras you know about.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jay.
But, and then, you know, it's like, they have these things all over Texas, and I'm sure they have them in other places too. It's basically a stock show and rodeo. So the Fort Worth is famous for one. They have them all over the place. And, you know, it's like the county, it's sort of like the county fair, you know, they show the animals, they have prize bulls and prize pigs and all that kind of stuff. And then, the rodeo is a, you know, I don't know how they do. I don't know how they do a lot of rodeos, but the Houston rodeo is a multi. It lasts, you know, several weeks, and so the rodeo is a it's a series.
Don't the riders get tired?
Well, they don't. They don't do the same thing every night.
I mean, they keep riding.
No, but they have. It's a series. So you have. You know, you have this. They take all the cowboys that are going to be in and cowgirls that are going to be in the event. They split them up into groups, and then they have, you know, eliminations in the groups, and then they, you know, the winners of each group go to do the championships and, you know, that sort of thing. So, when we
Cal
were there,
person.
Yeah, Cal Persons, we saw the, and I don't know if this is a rule thing or if it's just tradition or it's just the way things work out with, you know, you, at the level of professional rodeo, maybe women aren't good enough or strong enough to ride the bulls, but
there female bull riders?
I don't know. You know what? I honestly, or I don't know.
Maybe women are just too smart to ride the bulls.
That could be too.
It does kind of seem like a here, hold my beer type of thing.
Yeah.
When it comes to the ladies, they're like, oh, hell no.
I don't think so.
But they had, let's see, we started off, this is, I mean, I'm sorry if we're boring everybody with rodeo talk, but it is actually fun. If you ever get a chance to go to a live rodeo, please do. You'll enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. And there's a lot of action. So I think they started off with the bareback Bronx.
Also another insane thing to do.
Right. So they did the bareback Bronx, and then they did calf roping, where they had to they rope them and tie them up. I don't know what they call that.
That's timed, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's like timed. How quickly they can get them right. down they, and
right. They fully, yeah, whatever. They lasso. The calf runs out of the chute. They rope it. They flip it up on its back and tie its legs and the time stops.
They're preparing your veal. That's
usually
all.
Like 5 seconds.
Yeah, it's so
it's
quick.
Shockingly
it's amazingly
fast.
Quick. And then they did the, I forget which one they did next, but there was a saddle bronc, which is basically the bucking horse only with saddle this time, which is slightly different from the bareback. And then they did the team calf roping, where they had to rope the neck and the back leg. And then they did, they had bull riding, which is insane. And the bulls, there was only two guys that rode the bull for the time. The bulls definitely won that event. It's like 6-2 bulls versus cowboys. They were throwing them off left and right. Extremely violent animals, you know. And then they did, was it the steer wrestling, which is also insane.
It's my favorite.
Wrestling.
Brita likes the steer wrestling because all the cowboys that do it are like 6.5 feet tall and you know 250 pounds and
wearing tight jeans
and they're just like, you know, these are some big old boys and you got to be a big boy to jump off that horse and grab the steer by its horns and wrestle it to the ground
with like no padding and they jump off the horse and mind you they're wearing jeans and like a button down shirt tucked into the jeans and like pressed and they're wearing a hat and they jump off a horse and they tackle a steer and they grab it by the horns and they wrestle this steer down and then they stand up and they look like perfectly like their hat's still on and the shirt is still tucked and I'm like what the hell it's so funny
cowboy and, magic
yeah it's awesome. It's cool to see.
Yeah, and then they have they always have the mutton busting, which is if you're not familiar with mutton busting, that's where the little kids that are like 5 or 6 years old ride a sheep, and the object is to stay on who can stay on the sheep the longest, and they have like 10 or 15, 20 of these little kids, and they go racing. They put them on a sheep. They put a helmet on them. They put them on a sheep. And they kind of hold on to the sheep, and the sheep takes off running. And these little kids, they all fall off. So, whoever stays on the longest is the winner. So that's always fun. And then they do the chuck wagon races, which are these the little chuck wagons with the team of four horses, and they race around the inside of the arena. And then at the Houston Rodeo, they always have some musical act, which we didn't stay for because I got no interest in it. But a lot of times they have like Garth Brooks and they have, you know, a bunch of other people that you may or may not have ever heard of. And it's always incredibly loud and hurts your ears. So.
But by that time I was really tired. We counted on our like, you know, step meter things on our Apple Watches. And it was like over 13,000 steps for the day. So that was enough for Brita. I'm still learning how to use my new foot, so that was a lot for me in one day, but yeah.
How is the new
foot? Cool. The new foot is doing good.
Does it get swabbed at the airport? Like,
Yeah. I get the full.
They even waved a metal detector over it going into the rodeo.
Yeah, I get the treatment at the rodeo. Yeah.
Interestingly enough, though, the deal at the rodeo was, you can't, because the rodeo itself is a professional sports event. In Texas, you can't carry concealed or open into the sporting event. However, you can conceal carry into the carnival part. I'm pretty sure.
That's useful.
Anyway, so they got these metal detectors, right? And I got my pocket knife on. And I'm like, oh, they didn't say no pocket knife. So we go up there, and they got this little tray you throw your keys and wallet and whatnot into. And I toss my phone and my keys and my knife into the thing and walk through. And the guy goes, all right, go on. And I'm thinking, you know, if you tried to stop everybody that went into the rodeo with a pocket knife, you would have some sort of rebellion.
A line fly. Is back to Terre Haute.
So my prosthetic leg is more dangerous than your pocket knife. Right. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it is.
I think they're saying that you are more dangerous than Alan.
Well, that's
entirely possible. I got to say, it is fun watching Brita walk like heel to toe and stuff. Now it's really amazing because I've watched her for how many years now? 10
Enough.
Years that I've known you. I've watched her walk, and it's always been. You know, a little. I mean, you can tell. You don't know necessarily what it is, but there's something different from the way she walks.
Mike says that when I'm walking up the stairs at home, I sound different. I sound like a different person coming up the stairs.
Well, yeah, that's because you're doing heel toe.
Yeah,
you're doing an ankle, like you have an actual ankle, and you're not having to hit your hip to get to swing your foot around. So it's really impressive. I mean, the whole time, you know, she's wearing jeans, and we're walking around the rodeo, and I was, you know, honestly, I was having to speed up to catch up with her because she was just zooming around like crazy. It was fun.
It sounds it. I like I said, I have no frame of reference other than movies, and I, you know, it's one of those things when you realize how much they get wrong in areas you do know.
Oh yeah,
you start to question. What are they getting wrong in the areas I don't know?
Everything.
Yeah.
They don't change.
Exactly. So
it's always the same. But yeah, if you get a chance, you're in Virginia. They may have a rodeo near you at some point.
There probably is something.
I don't know.
I guess.
Maybe, I don't know. That may be too east.
I've been to a monster truck rally. Does that count?
No.
You know what's funny is
it's
I went
probably
to
the same demographic.
Well, the funny part is it was at the Whittemore Center at the University of New Hampshire, and the University of New Hampshire is a very curious little campus because it's a stereotypical Northeast liberal college, but they're a state college in New Hampshire. So their charter is 75% of the student body has to come from the state. New Hampshire is like, I don't know, 100%, 105% white. And which means that 3/4 of your student body is already evil white people. So, and they can't make the remaining students, they can't say, well, no white people can be allowed in. So you have a very homogenous student body, and they're very self-hating about it.
Oh, I bet they are.
And then they've got this brand new sports stadium, and what do they have? Monster trucks. Because nothing says lighten Northeast liberal like monster trucks. Right, this was like we went in like 2000, which was, you know, ramping up the big Al Gore, Save the Environment was running for president. So it was just like delightful irony. Here I am at the University of New Hampshire watching a monster truck rally, thinking about all of the carbon footprints. Just they were just crushed in the, you know, they were going to have to plant several forests to cover the carbon let off by these trucks. I was also hungover to beat the band.
Oh.
Which, let me tell you, an indoor monster truck rally is not the place to go when you are hungover really bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's I would have had to have felt better to die
do you,
at that point.
When you go to those things, do you have to wear earplugs?
You should.
You should, but yeah. I had, well, the previous evening I'd been to a wedding with an open bar, and I'd consumed about 90 glasses of tequila.
Oh.
So I was not thinking, you know, I'm going to a very loud event. I should probably wear hearing protection. I was thinking, oh my God, I want to die.
Tequila's the worst.
Yeah, yeah. But it was free.
Hey.
But, you know, nobody's ever accused me of being that bright. So,
so what else is going on with you, Jay? You had a story to tell.
nice segue, Brita.
I
got the most curious letter today in the mail today. It was addressed to me at my house in Virginia, where I live, for the past 4+ years. And it was from the Massachusetts Registry of Motor Vehicles, informing me that my Massachusetts driver's license was coming up for renewal. And they didn't want me to miss this. And I could renew online or by mail or by blah, 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 blah. And I couldn't help but be struck by the irony that you mailed it to my house in Virginia.
They're on top of things.
Is it even legal to get a driver's license in a state if you're living in another state?
No, I don't think so.
You know, I have people come in and... No, I think you need to choose one or the other because like I have people, snowbirds that come in the library and they live in both Florida and Ohio, but they have a Florida license plate or driver's license. Right. And I think you have to choose one or the other.
Well, in Texas, the rule is 30 days. If you live in Texas longer than 30 days, I mean, like live, not just stay in a hotel for 30 days, but if you like move to Texas and establish residence, then you have 30 days to change to a Texas driver's license. Obviously, if it's like your summer house or something like that, and your residence of record is in another state, you don't have to get a Texas driver's license. But you can't have a driver's license in two states at once. I don't think that's legal.
No, I think you have to have a state of residence, and it has to be like 51%. You have to live there 51%. At the time.
Right.
I thought about this when I lived in Mass, you know, could I get a cheap, you know, fleabag apartment in New Hampshire and declare that to be my residence? But, it doesn't work that way. But, you know, it's just, it's made even more ironic by the fact that when I moved, I actually had a single digit plate on my truck. My dad, when he was on the state police, was good friends with the Registry of Motor Vehicles and managed to secure a single digit plate. They'd come out with a new variant. There were special plates for light duty trucks.
So it was like eight?
Nine.
Was your license number?
It's a funny story, actually, because you know my dad was good friends with the Register of Motor Vehicles. And you know, the register called him up and he's like, you know, hey Hector, we got a new line coming out. You know, would you like a low number plate? And my dad's joking, he's like, sure. Put me down for a single digit, ha ha, because obviously single digits are highly coveted and they go to, you know, high muckety mucks, blah, 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 whatever. Dad doesn't think too much of it. A few months go by, registrar calls him up, he says, heck, do your plates in? Dad's like, great. What, you know, what number did I get? He says, 12. My dad says, you know, I'm just a cop and, you know, I didn't do too good in school, but 12 is not a single digit. He's like, oh, geez. Couple more months go by, plate 9. So when I moved out of state, we passed the plate on to a family member.
Can you do that?
My dad's cousin. You can. Wow. Rather than just turning it in and having going to general population, we loaned it, extended loan, I think is how it was put, but to my cousin. So the state of Massachusetts Register of Motor Vehicles has a letter from me explaining that I have moved out of state and I am relinquishing this plate. So there is written evidence that I am out of state, and yet I get a driver's license renewal notice.
Well, they did send it to your Virginia address, right?
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't like so we moved 6 months ago and the form sent it. That I'd be like, okay, that happens. And it's extra funny because about a month ago, I got a letter in the mail from the Massachusetts Criminal History Systems Board telling me that Massachusetts has outlawed bump stocks and binary triggers. And if I have one, I have to turn it in.
Whoops. That's interesting. Why would they outlaw binary triggers? That's the one with a set, right?
Yeah, because they're idiots and they don't know what they are.
That has absolutely nothing to do with rapid fire.
Right. They want to look like
the opposite.
No, the binary triggers are you pull the trigger and it fires and you release the trigger and it fires. I don't know how it's legal. Because in my mind, that's one pull and two shots. But apparently, however it's set up, it is blessed by the Mucky Mucks on high, and it's legal.
Machine gun.
Except in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's because you can't hold it, and it doesn't keep firing.
It doesn't keep firing as long as you hold the trigger.
Right. But whatever. And I think there's like one or two companies that make them, and they're a novelty.
Yeah, I can't imagine that being any good.
A, I don't have either of them. And B, I live in Virginia, where they're perfectly legal. You know what else I have a safe full of? AR-15s with bayonet lugs and collapsible stocks.
Oh, no.
Which are also not legal in Massachusetts.
You might as well announce you're going to go shoot up a school.
I just found it very interesting that while they are simultaneously claiming they don't have the manpower and they don't have the money to enforce the existing laws, they're perfectly fine with slapping a letter into an envelope and mailing it to Virginia.
Yeah.
So that to tell me that they're illegal. And I'm like, you might as well tell me that, guess what? We now drive on the left side of the road, except that would actually be useful to me because I might visit. The fact that, you know, at least the bump stock, okay, maybe if I had one and I was coming back to Massachusetts to visit, now I know I can't bring it in. Okay. The renewing the driver's license, though, was just, mwah, that was beautiful. That was just, you know, there's no revision of the database to say, are we sending these notices out of state? Like, 20 years ago, I did mail merges where you could sort and exclude. 20 sure. years ago. This I work with people who were born after this technology became available. And yet, here's Mass. Yes, renew your Massachusetts driver's license. Person living in Virginia. And yet.
Yeah, you think.
People want to put the government in charge of healthcare. Oh, boy.
Yeah, and everything else that they're completely incompetent at.
I just, you know, just like, again, Massachusetts driver's license, Virginia address.
You know, while we're speaking of Massachusetts, I think we should take a minute.
Yes.
I'm segueing again.
We're segueing into other Massachusetts-related things.
Namely Weird. And I think that for people who don't follow Weird's blog and for people who are not on the Facebook page, we should probably mention that Weird is no longer with the show. I don't want to say there's no hard feelings because I don't know if there's no hard feelings. I hope there's no hard feelings, but... I think that after 6 years together, we had come to a point where the show was becoming a little bit, what's the word I want to use? Unruly and
dysfunctional
in ways. And it was going in a direction where it was never intended to go. Like we never intended for the Squirrel Report to be Vicious Circle Part 2. It was never meant to be that. And
was very specifically meant not to be that.
Yes, very specifically. And, you know, it seemed to be kind of spiraling in that direction. And we were unable to kind of rein it in. And it just, you know, after multiple discussions of how to do things and kind of, we had different artistic visions for the show and that sort of thing. We decided to kind of go in a different direction and try to pull the show back together. And as Alan said earlier today, we're doing a pivot.
That's right. That's the new, that's the Silicon Valley lingo there.
Yeah.
I did not know you're a Silicon Valley fan, Alan.
No, we still love Weird and we wish him the best. And I really, really hope he has his own show because we will pimp the hell out of it because he is a voice that deserves to have his own show.
And he's really good at it.
He is. He's very good at it. Yeah. He deserves to have his own show. Actually, I hope somebody like picks him up and gives him his own show and like does all the technical work for him because that would be awesome. And just let him, you know, fly free. And I think that's probably what he needs for his voice. And, I don't know. So we wish everybody the best. And I don't know. It's 6 years is a long time for a podcast. I don't know. I'm assuming it is.
It's a pretty long time. Some of the I know of a couple that are like 10 years, but yeah, 6 is a long time. And we do. I mean, if you count the previous podcast, and you count the previous podcast that Rita did,
yeah, way back in the day.
We've been doing this for like,
I don't even know if that's online anymore, like if that's even available to listen to.
Yeah, I don't know.
But because it would be hysterical for me to listen to it considering how like ridiculously nervous I was every week before I went on the air. I would sit there and like do hours of homework for the show and, you know.
Now it's like 30 minutes before the show and Brita's like, do we have any topics?
What are we talking about? Is there something to talk about this evening? I hope we're entertaining. Yeah. anyway. So that's that. I don't know. Jay.
And yeah, it really came down to, as Alan said with the pivot, it was either going to change or it was going to cease to be.
Right.
Right.
And I don't think anybody wanted it to cease to be. And talking with Weird, he knew something was going to happen. And I think that doing it this way leads to less hurt feelings and less hard feelings. At least I hope it does. I mean, Weird's a great guy. I've been friends with him for many, many years. I mean, I think we're coming up close to 15 at this point.
Wow.
And, you know, I think that parting ways as we did now, as opposed to trying to limp it out another year, it would have been a much worse. It would have been a, no, we don't like, you know, we're all ticked off and nobody likes anybody.
And we don't want to talk to each other anymore. And
exactly.
We dread the show every week. You know, I was getting to the point where I was dreading the show every week. And that, you know, I've done that before and I don't want to do it again. And I was getting to the point, I was like, oh man, this is not working. This is not working. What are we doing? And I was just, you know, I would just take out my earbuds and I wouldn't even participate. I'd be like, okay, whatever, y'all go on with whatever you're talking about because I'm out. And I really hope that this kind of new direction gives us a chance to let more voices in and to let more people join us on the Square Report and be guests on our show because there's so much that, you know, there's so much to talk about. So.
And we have so many interesting people that listen to this show that have interesting things that they're doing. We've already got a few guests lined up for the next few shows, and we'll be adding more as we go. I won't promise that we'll have a different guest every night at every show.
No, we're not getting paid after all.
But we're going to try to have somebody new to talk to on every show. That, you know, that keeps us from getting bored. It keeps y'all from getting bored. It keeps, you know, it's everything.
Yeah. So, Jay, I know that you have to go.
Yeah, I'm going to have to cut out. I have to go spot for my boy.
How's the weightlifting going? Good?
It's going awesome. I keep trying to kill myself, but...
it's worth it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Just getting stronger.
Yep.
And on clock, by clockwork, my son is knocking on the door very patiently. So I'm going to say goodnight.
Okay, folks. Goodnight. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Next week. Thanks for having me.
Next week, you'll be on.
Next week.
Awesome.
Who are we having next week?
Jay. We're having Jay.